gotta get to the place to where... I remember Mary Fran had said this a long time ago in 2000. It's like we substituted the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the miracles, everything that that God intended for the church, we substituted for entertainment. And that's more prevalent ever today, I said, because you see a lot of powerless churches. I said, so we got to get back to that. Amen. Amen. That's for every born-again believer, not just for the pastor. Well, we're waiting on Pastor Tim. I said, no, Pastor Tim, we're waiting on no one, actually. I said, we just got to get there. How many of you know God's will for your life is his word? His will is his word. His will is his word. And you know that God will never deviate from his word no matter what, who says what. No matter the title, no matter how established they are, no matter how many followers that person may have, his will for our lives is his word. Many have tried, but you know, they try to fool you, they may dupe you or what have you. I said, but the reality, it falls back on you if you don't fulfill the will of God for your life, because you're a free moral agent. See, the enemy may run you off the wrong course, but God's correction will just bring you right back in line to his word. God can use anyone to accomplish his will. That's the truth. And we've seen that throughout scripture. I mean, he talked through a donkey. He used the most unlikely characters throughout scripture, people that we've never thought that he would use, he used. God used a pagan sorcerer, Balaam, to get his will or his plan accomplished in Numbers chapter 22. Balaam was sent to curse Israel, but the man ended up blessing them because it was God's perfect will. I said, can you imagine people who were, I mean, just your greatest enemy is sent to curse you, to do wrong things to you, what have you, don't want you to fulfill, and then yet God turns his heart, and then they begin to bless you. You know, his scripture says, if your ways please him, he would even cause your enemies to be at peace with you. There is nothing that can stop or oppose what he wants to do in your life. So just think about it. If we try to accomplish our own will, the enemy can stop it. But if you are set out to accomplish God's will for your life, all of hell can't even prevail against the power of God operating in it, the knowledge and the wisdom of God. So long story short, it's better to be perfect, to be in the perfect will of God for our lives than trying to submit to a plan to get our own thing and to get what we want. In Matthew 6, 9 through 15, it says this, in this manner, therefore, this is the Lord's Prayer, pray our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is a simple yet bold and powerful prayer. Praying that God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's no evil in heaven. So God's will can automatically come to pass there. But there is evil here. And so sometimes God's will doesn't automatically come to pass, but that still is his will for us here. His will be done on earth. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's who will be able to stand before him. That's who he will be able to let in to spend eternity with, are those who will do, who know him and have a relationship with him and will do the will of the Father. It isn't just going living life and going around doing whatever it is we want to do, but it's about our fellowship with the Father and being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I say this a lot. I wouldn't say a lot, but I say, I'm going to do what I want to do. No one can stop that. I'm going to do what I want to do. But what I want to do is the will of my Father. That's what I want to do. I've done my thing for a long time, and you know what? It didn't get me anywhere. It was like I was on a hamster wheel or something. Wasn't getting anywhere until I began living out his plan for my life. There will be struggles you may have with others. They may think God's will for their lives supersedes his will for yours. I said, so when you begin the class, I said, listen, you, first off, you got to go along with what his word says. Is this really what the Lord told me to do? Is this what his will is? Is this where he wants us to go? Well, someone can impose their will upon you. Well, you got to go with what the Lord has said to you and what it, and if it lines up with the word. And second, God is always faithful to watch over his word to perform it. So when you send that word out, when you speak that word, you confess it, you believe in it, what have you, you ain't got to do anything else but rest and just begin to work and walk out his will. It's the miraculous power of his word that fulfills his will. It says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So is there any sickness in heaven? So let his will be done. He's made a way. It doesn't mean that everyone here will be healed, but Jesus provided healing for all people. Is there any poverty in heaven? No. Not when there's streets paved with gold and the pearly gates, man, all the gems and stuff that are on there. But there's poverty here because men in power are very selfish with what they have, and they're too busy trying to play God and have people come to them for the answer. There are no broken hearts in heaven. Jesus has healed them all. But there are some here. But this is why we preach the gospel. This is why we share what he has done for each and every one of us. I said, every broken heart can be healed. Every broken heart can be mended if you let them. Trying to solve your problems your way and in your angle, anger will never, ever produce the righteousness of God. So Ephesians 5 says this, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Amplified version of verse 17 says, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. It's not talking about behavior modification. I know people like to throw that out there. I said, but you have to understand, there's a lot of scriptures in the Word that deals with how we're supposed to live and treat one another. Period. But we allow that to happen through the renewing of our mind. We'll get to that scripture there. God doesn't care how you live on a year on earth. Oh, yeah, he does. There's a lot of scripture. His word is his will for our life. If he didn't care, he wouldn't put it in his word. All those who choose to live godly will suffer what? Persecution. If you choose to live a godly life, as soon as you start turning and making a change in your life because of what the word is doing, when you start living that godly life, you're going to face harassment. There's going to be people who's going to try to cause injury and grief and affliction in your life. Just smile. Sometimes that's hard. I didn't do that at first. But you got to smile. It's like, wait a minute. If they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to me. If they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. So you got to just smile. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit means there's a continuance to the Spirit-filled life. It isn't just a one-time thing. You got to be filled. It's better to be drunk on the Holy Spirit than it is to be drunk with wine. You're going to make better decisions. Plus, there's no hangover. You still may have people talking about you, though. Did you see all those people drunk in the Spirit? Well, it comes with the territory. They did that back in Acts. Huh? Being filled with the Holy Spirit will give you the boldness to be able to confront the enemy head on with the Word of God backing you up. And discerning the will of God for our lives will be tough at times. It's hard to discern the will of God for our life sometimes. We may be believing he's leading us one direction, and yet with his wisdom and grace, and just does a little course correction in our life. We were on the right track, and then we got off, but this is what he wants to do. He just brings us right back. I know my generation, we play video games and stuff. And there's this game called Mario Kart. If you ever played Mario Kart, when you get off track, there's a thing that brings you right back on track just to get right back in the race again. It's like a course correction. Abraham was walking with God. Here's the thing. Abraham was walking with the Lord and got to the place where another man, King Abimelech, wanted to take Sarah and make her his wife. And in Genesis 20, it says, as Abraham moved south to the Negev, and lived for a while between Kadesh and Shur. And then he moved to Gerar. While living there as a foreigner, Abraham introduced his wife Sarah by saying, she is my sister. So King Abimelech of Gerar sent for Sarah and had her brought to him at his palace. But that night, God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, you are a dead man. Whew. For that woman you have taken is already married. But Abimelech had not slept with her yet. So he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did Abraham tell me she is my sister? Yeah, he did. And she herself said, he is my brother. I acted in complete innocence. My hands are clean. In the dream, God responded, yes, I know you are innocent. That's why I kept you from sinning against me and why I did not let you touch her. Now return the woman to her husband and he will pray for you, for he is a prophet. Then you will live. But if you don't return her to him, you can be sure that you and all your people will die. One thing is for sure, that God don't play, especially when it comes to his children. Especially when it comes to you, he don't play because he'll protect you. We have to yield to his leading. His will doesn't automatically come to pass, and we know in different things and what he already had told Abraham that you and Sarah are going to bear a child, but he went and did what? Hooked up with Hagar. And sometimes we take matters into our own. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't fix our mess. He can't turn it around. He can't work it for our good. But it's better to get the leading and trust that he's leading you in the right direction. God doesn't always make our plan clear in our lives. But you can be sure that if we are going in the wrong direction, there will be some correction. With his grace in our lives, you don't have to be afraid to miss it. Or mishearing his voice. Abraham basically gave his wife away to save himself. That's old covenant stories, Pastor Tim. I said, yeah, but we still serve the same God, just under our new and better covenant. Our faith and obedience to the will of God for our lives show how much we really do trust him. In Romans 12, it says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Your thoughts will direct your life. When you renew your mind with the word of God, you are being transformed into the image of God. And this process does not happen overnight. We know that. But rest assured, there is something changing inwardly in you that hell cannot stop. There's something working on the inside of you that hell cannot stop. You can't stop the process of something growing if it's in the ground unless you just dig up that whole seed and the roots to go along with it. The increase comes from God. Spiritual growth in the midst of chaos is like a flower blooming in a junkyard. You're that flower blooming in that junkyard. Don't ever neglect growth in the midst of chaos because you can always learn something from it. You can learn to trust in him. You can learn to get back in line with what he says. So maybe I've been out of God's will for a season in my life. Okay, Father, I'm focused in. 2024, I'm focused in. I'm lasered into your will and your purpose for my life. So how do I get started? By following his will. First off, you just can't stand still. Some people will say, well, you just got to be still. You got to be still and not do anything. No, don't stand still. You got to do something. You got to get moving again. If you take a step, I say, here, no, steps is over here. Well, that's the wrong step. But at least you took a step. You understand? I say, you just can't stand still. People say, man, I've been waiting for the Lord. I've been waiting for 3 years. 3 years. And you haven't heard? See, I see why your car was repoed. I see why you're 6 months behind on your rent, because you've been sitting there waiting for them to tell you to do something and you haven't been out doing. Even when you're out doing it for a while, guess what? He's going to say, okay, he's going to hook you up with this guy here to fit your purpose where you're on down the line. And then now you can get hooked up with this guy here. And then there's going to be another woman there that may know somebody that may know somebody. And but you got to get moving. If you're sitting in the house all day, you ain't going to see it. Let me show you where Moses tried that little monologue with the Lord, and it didn't work out as he told the Israelites. Now, this is when the Israelites had came out of Egypt. They took all the riches and everything, and Pharaoh just basically, I wouldn't say came to his senses, but he was like, wait a minute. They're leaving us, and they're leaving all our money. They're leaving with all our money. We need to go and get them. So he loaded up. His army went after them. And as the Israelites looked up, it says, and we pick up in Exodus 14:10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking him. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Now, he just did all these miracles. The Lord showed them all the plagues and all that other stuff. They've experienced that the blood of the Lamb was, cover them during those plagues. They saw the miraculous work of God, and now here they are because they see the Egyptians coming. They see the enemy coming. They look at what they says. Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. Man. Fear will have you saying some crazy stuff, wouldn't it? Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. Now, that seems like something pretty good to say, right? Stand still and just watch the Lord rescue you today. The Lord had a different plan. Says, the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. That is true. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Keep calm, right? Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get what? Moving. Don't stand still. Tell the people to get moving. You stand still, the enemy, you make an easy target for the enemy. If you stand still. I can hit a target. I may not be able to shoot a gun or an arrow, bow and arrow, but you know what? If it stands still, I can hit it. If I had enough opportunities, I can hit it. But if it's moving, now that's going to take some accuracy. That's going to take some wisdom. That's going to take some practice. It's going to take a whole lot. He says, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on the dry ground, not wet ground. Not marsh, not. I said, you realize the force that it has to be in order to split the sea and for it to be dry? That's crazy. That's unbelievable. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops and his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Just sitting there waiting on the Lord. Tell me what to do, Lord. Tell me what to do. Just get moving. Get moving. Doesn't matter. Well, Lord, I don't like working at this coffee house. Everybody's against me. I said, just go and work. It don't matter. Go do what go do something, and then he will lead you somewhere else. Just do something. I'm not saying something crazy. Just do something in an act of faith and obedience to God. Lord, I don't know my purpose. I remember standing in my apartment on Fifth Street And I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading the Gospels and stuff. And this is when the first time I've ever really sat there and read the scriptures. And I'm like, didn't I just read the Gospels? Didn't I just read this? Because I was just replaying it over and over. I said, why am I just reading it? I just read this all over. But I remember just standing right in front of my closet saying, Lord, what is your will for me? I don't know. But you know what? I couldn't just stand there in a doggone closet. I had to do something. I had to move. I had to go somewhere. And so when I did go somewhere, well, went to Arkansas. Well, that wasn't it. Came back here. What do you want me to do? Well, started cleaning the toilets. They hired us to clean the church. Okay, I'm serving. Now we're doing a little bit. Then I joined the worship team. Now we're doing a little. Now I'm helping out fixing Q-tips in 180 when Kelly was doing it. I'm just doing a little bit at the time, but the reality of it is I didn't know I would be here, but I was just doing it. You don't matter. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, just as long as you're doing something, the Lord will send somebody across your path. He will tell you in a prayer time or what have you. It doesn't matter. But as long as you keep moving, if you just stand still, you're not going to find it. In order for the Lord to direct your footsteps, you have to at least make an attempt to step. You can't say that you're walking with the Lord and there has been no attempts to trust and obey his will for your life. But even in all that, he will direct your footsteps. And the Lord will cause you to turn towards his will. Because God is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, and it frees you up from trying to control everything in your life. So trust him because, again, can you put that scripture, Romans 10:11, Amplified version. Can you get the Amplified version? Thank you. I can probably read it on my pad. The scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him will ever be put to shame or disappointed. You can't be disappointed when your trust is in God. You can't be disappointed when you're relying on him, ever. You can't be disappointed. You could be disappointed if you're trusting in yourself, but you can't be disappointed when you're trusting in God because he won't let you down. So that's some serious stuff right there. Lord, all you have to do is ask him, am I trusting you in every area? Am I relying on you in every area? Because if not, I'm going to let myself down, and I don't want to blame you for something that I've done. But if I'm not trusting in you, show me. Help me. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking help from God. He wants to help. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to get all prideful with it. Well, I got this on my own. Jesus, take the wheel. No. Sometimes he does need to take the wheel, but he wants to show you how to do it so you can help somebody else and lead them to him, not to yourself. Amen? Amen. Amen. So following God's will for your life. That trust starts with trusting him and not standing still, but moving. Wherever it's at, you got to move. You got to get going. My wife and I started this keto diet. She's been doing it for about 3 weeks. I've been doing it for 2. And I'm going to tell you, I had a cheat meal yesterday. We were at the game in Pratt, and I got a cheeseburger because you ain't supposed to have any bun, you know, hamburger bun. But I'm telling you, that was one of the best hamburgers I've ever had. My God. I never knew bread could taste so good. My goodness. But you know, the reality of it is, if you don't start, you're going to be stuck. So you got to get moving. If you don't start on that project, you're just going to be stuck. If you don't start on doing stuff with your finances, you're just going to be, it's just going to be the same thing over and over again. If you don't make that adjustment, if you don't start speaking into your kids' lives right now, if you don't start teaching them how to pray and how to pray for other people and how to seek God's will for your life, for their lives, you got to start sometime, because then you're just going to be stuck. Sooner or later, I guarantee you, here's the thing. The word of God is going to work when your trust is in him, your faith is in him. It's going to work. There's no doubt about it. I'm 100% sure of that, because it's worked in my life. It will work. But you got to start cracking open your book, your Bible, or your iPad, or on your phone, or what have you. I know some people kind of get this. You know, I think we got to get to the place. And I've said it before, and the Lord kind of showed me something. It's like, well, I believe the Lord showed me something, but it's like all these people are saying this is a distraction. But notice something here. This could be a distraction in your life. This is wrong, all the social media and stuff and everything that's bad. I said, but yet they won't hesitate to post their stuff. They get their phone out of their pocket and say, this is a distraction. It could be. But so can your TV shows. As Days of Our Lives, I said, anybody still watch, don't raise your hand if you still watch soap operas. Watching Santa Barbara. I mean, Bold and, what is that? What is that? I used to call it Santa Barbara all the time because I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I said that could be a distraction. Social media could be a distraction. Video games could be a distraction. There's a lot of things that can distract us from God. Our hobbies can distract us from God. Everything. But not too many people are giving up those. So all I'm saying is, 2024, just focus more on God, on your relationship. I'll tell you what, I'm not 100% there, because there's a whole lot that the Lord needs to work with me on and everything else. I said, but I'm more focused on my relationship than more so what I preach. And I'm not trying to make light of that, because again, I can be preaching the best messages and people can preach the best messages and not ever have a relationship with Jesus. I'm more focused on my relationship. And then I lean on him. Lord, what is it that you want me to say? What is it you want me to preach on? And I'll get that title throughout the week, but I won't do it until Sunday morning. Because I want my relationship to reflect. What good is that? What good is opening up the blind eyes, unlocking the deaf ears, and yet I don't have no kind of relationship with the Lord? That's kind of pathetic. We all need Jesus in our life. So I'm more focused in on what he wants for me rather than what other people want. And I'm not tactful. I'm pretty blunt, straight to the point, and I don't sugarcoat stuff. But if people don't like what I'm doing, God bless you. See, I'm working. I told you I was working on that. God bless you. I still love you. Why? Because he says, bless those that curse you. Now, why would you have to bless somebody that curses you? Because you reap what you, that blessing comes back. Come on now. God's for you. He's trying to help you to win, to see that. He's for you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that persecute you. I don't live that out 100%. But I'm on my way there. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word, Lord. And Father God, we just pray for, I know this is tongue in cheek, but you know, Lord, we just pray for some of these ushers here wearing Chiefs jerseys and stuff. Really, we do. And we pray for the hearts that are here, Lord. I thank you that they're here, that they brave the weather, that they're in your house of worship on this day, Lord. And I thank you for everyone here. And those that aren't. Father, we ask that they continue to be more focused and more lasered on you, Lord. And that this year will be the best year yet. Even though people have been prophesying the things that they've been prophesying, Lord, rest assured, you haven't fallen off your throne. And our trust is in you, not in the economy, not in our culture, but in your word and in you. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Before we go, Pastor Brandon, can you please come up? I'm going to embarrass you just one time this year. Ushers, can you bring? This man is a good, good, good man and a good father and a good brother. We love you. And I just want us to give the opportunity because he always asks me, do you want anything? No. Give it to the kids, give it whatever. So he's just, he's always given. But we want to give into him today because he's good ground, he's good seed. And most of y'all don't know this, like, I have to refer back to when I was in a hospital. He sent me a text and he's like, came in your office, your Bible's open. Isaiah 54:7, no weapon formed. Mm-hmm. That struck something in me. I mean, it just stirred up something in me. I was like, so I appreciate that message, and I know other people had sent something too, but that was a blessing. It's like you said, I mean, send it to a friend. Call them up, say, hey, I love you, praying for you, what have you. So I was always blessed by that. So you got your monies out, write it out, make it out to him, and let's bless him because he's good seed. And if you give online, we'll just put it general offering and just put a memo to it or what have you, okay? Let's sing happy birthday to this man. How old are you?
29.
59. 59. 53. Okay, 53. Still young. All right, y'all ready? Happy birthday to you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. Or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.